To Radio Times on Stage. We're in the Dorrance H. Hamilton Public Media Commons at WHYY for a special concert and conversation with Philadelphia composer, singer, producer Andrew Lipke. He's going to perform songs from his newly released fourth album called The Plague. He's brought his guitar and his keyboard. Also with us is Westchester's Azrael Quartet, Dan Wiederhold playing first violin, Anita Goga second violin, Scott Wagner viola, and Krista Umile playing cello. And rounding things out, we have an audience with us in Hamilton Commons, something that doesn't happen every day on Radio Times. Andrew Lipke's work crosses musical boundaries, as you will hear. He received the Barrymore Award for Excellence in Theater in 2007. And Andrew Lipke, what a pleasure. Nice to have you with us on Radio Times on Stage.
Great to be here.
Well, we're very happy to have you here. This new CD or album, as we used to call them, is called The Plague, with song titles like The Prophecy, Holy War, The Angels, The Rapture. Are you on some kind of religious journey here?
I think definitely on a religious journey of one sort or another. I don't know if religious is necessarily the right word, maybe spiritual, searching, but it's also not necessarily a personal story. It's more sort of an analysis of just kind of different scenarios and maybe changing some rules that people consider to be set in stone.
One of the things that I read that you said about it is that the end is coming. It's just that the people who are predicting it are probably wrong.
Right. Well, it's sort of the...
I like that, too.
Yeah. Well, one of the songs, so, you know, it's kind of like just imagining, if you just sort of switch the scenario just a little bit, how much of a change that would bring. So sort of entertaining that idea, the angels come and they're here to fulfill the prophecy, but unfortunately it's not anybody's prophecy that's here on earth. So they kind of give their apologies and then set to work.
Well, I'd love to have you play something, a reunion, but I would love to have you just talk a little bit about this quartet and how you found them or they found you or how you were able to work together.
Well, Krista and I have been performing together for 5-6 years or so, and you know, she's been just such a great asset in being able to try out new sounds and experiment with, you know, different ways of approaching some of the music that I do that's a little bit more akin to popular music. But when I started working on this project, I got my degree in composition from University of the Arts, and I have written a couple of string quartets, just string quartets that stand on their own. I have yet to hear them.
Hey guys.
Maybe someday. Maybe someday.
But so I really like working in the medium because I think it's something that allows you to really try out a lot of different musical ideas, and you're limited by the ranges and different performance techniques on the instruments. But really, it's almost limitless as far as the different kinds of interplay and voice leading and contrapuntal information that you can play around with. So. I hit on the idea of taking that aspect of music writing that I enjoy and combining it with my performance, the performance that I do, which is very, you know, rarely anything classical. And so that led me to want to write these quartets. So I wrote the quartets or the quartet arrangements for these songs before I had a quartet of any kind. And then called Krista.
and here we all are.
Yeah, I'm Krista Dana. And and also knew Anita from Westchester University.
Yeah.
And then the rest is history. And then we just hooked up with Scott just recently.
That's great. Well, we'd love to hear your performance of Reunion.
Let's do it.
Whispering secrets inside my ears, And the night seemed to dance like a child at the beach, taking moments and putting them all in a box for fear that the morning would soon place them all out of reach. Flashing around my head, and the fist really knots my eyes on the floor. Why'd it have to be now? Why'd it have to be here? I said. She decided, she brushed past and walked through the door. She said, talk anymore, it's just and
Andrew Lipke and the Asriel Quartet performing Reunion from Lipke's new CD called The Plague. I love that deep string sound when you get to that.
Yeah, it's strings are pretty amazing. I think I remember reading it somewhere in an orchestration book that basically you can never tire of hearing strings play. You know, some other instruments can, at a certain point, make you want to ask them to stop.
But good
string for you. You wanted to keep going.
Let me just read a couple of lines from this song, and it begins, "On the moment she came, I could hardly contain myself, took all my apprehension and put it on the shelf. She'd been out on the front lines throwing her weight around. I'd been cutting my teeth on the wrong history." Very provocative. Do you start with words? You start with a piece of paper?
That particular song started with these two chords. I just like the way those two sounded back to back, and that was like 8 years ago.
Really?
Yeah.
And that just, you kept that in your brain somewhere?
I kept it in my brain. I was like, oh, I was going to write a string quartet with it, or do some sort of, you know, fancy pants, long form composition. But it just kept sort of sitting in my head, and it has that kind of melancholy feel to it. And usually what happens is when a sound triggers something inside my brain that says, well, there's a song in there or a composition or something that's worth putting down. If I feel like it should have words, I just kind of open my mouth and whatever comes out. And usually it's an image of some sort, and then that image I build on.
Wow.
So I think that one started with "On the Moment She Came, I Could Hardly," and then that turned into the idea of two people coming together, but coming together under dire circumstances, and what more dire than the end of the world?
Indeed.
So, yeah, and then kind of toying with the idea of them being either lovers or siblings or two people who maybe fought the idea that they should be together for whatever reason, but when it came down to the idea that they would never have the chance again, they put those things aside.
So you don't have a certain approach to music. I mean, if you had those chords that stayed with you for 8 years, and then all of a sudden there's a line that you hear,
yeah.
Did you say to yourself, "I wonder how those two would fit together"?
I think there's
a work that way.
Sometimes I would say I very rarely come up with words separate from music. Right. So I'm not very good at taking words that I'm not very good at just writing like poetry, you know, just prose in that respect, and then thinking I'm going to put these words to music. I kind of have to do it at the same time, because that's where the image is created for me that moves me forward. You know, so it's less. Sometimes I'll write a song with an idea, like for instance, one of the songs on the record called "The Angels" is written with the intent purpose of being, of the idea of the end of the world coming, but everybody got it wrong. Right. So that was a situation. Right. So then I had kind of like an idea to play with. But a lot of times it's just a line, and then the line turns into two lines, and then when you've got two lines, now you have a little bit more of a concrete idea. Three lines, it's even more concrete, and then you have, then you can pull from what you've already created to play around with.
And how long have you been playing keyboard?
I started, piano was my first instrument, and I started it in South Africa when I was 5, and then stopped for a long time.
And when did you come back?
I always played, but I stopped taking lessons, I should say. I never stopped playing, but I took lessons from 5 until 9, and then when I moved to America, I started again at around, I guess I kind of took from 11 to 12, right. And then I wanted to play the song Axel F. from Beverly Hills Cop 2, and my piano teacher didn't want me to, and I said, well, I'm not coming back.
And that was it, right?
That was it. So now when my students want to play Axel F., I let them play Axel F.
Good for you. You were born in South Africa, and I don't hear one hint of a South African accent.
Yeah.
Did you try to get rid of it, or you just...
Yeah.
Did you?
I did. Yeah, when we moved to a small town in Virginia called Cartersville, and my sisters will tell you with disgust how in, you know, 2 weeks I was like, hey, y'all. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I'm an American, you know. I really wanted to be an American, but my South African accent hides in there sometimes.
Because you wanted to leave South Africa? I mean, you were little.
I just wanted to fit in, you know.
And we're almost up on a break here, but how did you end up in Virginia?
My dad's a Methodist minister, and he was looking for, you know, there was a shortage of ministers in America, and he had two choices, Kentucky or Virginia, and for some reason he chose Virginia.
So you can do a Virginia accent pretty well.
I would like to be able to do one of the real cultured Southern accents, but I can't really.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a very short break, and then we're going to get back to our conversation and more music. And we are broadcasting from the Dorrance H. Hamilton Public Media Commons at WHYY. It's a special concert and conversation with Andrew Lipke. This is Radio Times on stage. We are literally on stage with the Azrael Quartet from Westchester. We're going to take a very short break. We'll get back to our conversation, and we'll play some more music as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Fox Chase Cancer Center supports WHYY and recognizes Prostate Cancer Awareness Month. Prostate cancer is second only to skin cancer among U.S. men. African American men and men with a family history of prostate cancer are at increased risk. Fox Chase's Prostate Cancer Risk Assessment Service helps you make informed decisions about risk and prevention. It all begins with a detailed analysis of your family medical history. More at foxchase.org. Fox Chase. Hearts plus minds.
Hi, Mike McGrath, host of You Bet Your Garden here, inviting you to join us for our next web chat, where we'll cover garlic planting, fun with pansies and fall greens, and all the great parts of the second season of gardening. The web chat takes place live Wednesday, September 21st at noon at whyy.org/garden.
People's Light and Theatre supports WHYY and presents The Return of Don Quixote, September 21st through October 16th. Don Quixote is shaken from his boring yet respectable retirement when his old companion, Sancho Panza, shows up with an unauthorized biography that makes a mockery of their past escapades. What else can the friends do but hit the road again? A charming tale to remind us that romance and adventure hide around every corner, if we are brave enough to look. For information, 610-644-3500 or peopleslight.org.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY. In fact, it's Radio Times on stage. And again, I'm with composer, singer, producer Andrew Lipke and Westchester's Asriel Quartet. And I do want to play a song from Andrew's new album. The album is called The Plague, and this is a song called It's Over. Let's listen.
Hats around the dawning. It's
song about?
Well, it's sort of the picking up the pieces at the end and figuring out how to rebuild. It kind of a little bit of a hopefulness in it, but to me, I think what I was exploring in my own mind is no matter what side of that story you want to be on, when the end is finished, it's over. But then there's something else, right? So, you know, the whole kind of concept of people wanting to bring about the end or really excited by it and, you know, driving around in RVs and all that kind of stuff. When it's finished, you're kind of back where you are now, so, you know, you might as well make the most of this situation.
Sounds like a hymn, though. It has a hymn feeling.
It does. Yeah, it does. I think a lot of the record does, and partly it's because of the kind of simple harmonies that I try to sort of funnel through all the tunes, put more complex information in the relationship between the instruments, but keep the harmonic relationships really simple, and I think that kind of gets to what we're most familiar with in music of the church, and also, I mean, any kind of music most of the time can come down to, you know, three special chords.
Well, I'd love to have you and the Asriel Quartet perform another song from your new CD, and this is Sleep Like a Child.
Yep.
Sleep, laid out in
Andrew Lipke and the Azro Quartet performing Sleep Like a Child from Lipke's new CD called The Plague. Can I say how much I like your voice?
Thank you.
Yes?
Please
yes?
do. I'm sorry, what was that you said?
Have you always sung?
Always, yeah. I mean, my parents will tell you about when they used to try to punish me for strange things I would do as a kid.
Did you do a lot of strange things?
I did. One thing I did, which I thought was strange, but I guess is not that strange, I would just lie about just weird stuff that was kind of silly to lie about, you know? I would just, you know, it was strange. Like one time I remember my dad was washing the car, and I just turned on the water. There's only two of us there. And he's like, did you turn the water on? I'm like, no. And no, I mean, it's completely obvious I turned the water on, and at some point in my brain, I was like, well, I could just change reality anytime I want to. You know, or I would, like, change the story of things. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that happened, you know, that happened in my house.
You're
when
a liar.
It completely didn't. Yeah, well, see, the thing is, now I cannot at all lie. Apparently, my wife says I flare my nostrils.
Oh, interesting.
And I can't.
So how were you punished then?
Well, you know, sent to my room. And you know, reprimanded, and so I obviously got emotional, as kids do. But my parents would say once I was in my room, within 2 minutes I would just be singing, kind of at the top of my lungs, whatever. So they just couldn't, you know, they were like, "Ah, you're singing again. You're supposed to be sad." So I would always sing.
I want to read another line from the song that you just perform, "Sleep Like a Child." I underscored this. And you write, you sang, I lost my baby Jesus, lost my Holy Ghost, but it's the Father I miss most.
Yeah.
It's really powerful.
Thank you. You know, a lot of the, some of the stuff I write is a little bit, it's like 30% autobiographical, yeah. Sometimes a lot less, very rarely more. I rarely write about my own distinct situations because, I don't know, I think it's more fun to just to make stuff up. I guess maybe that's...
There we go again.
Yeah, there we go.
Right.
Right. So, but, you know, there is kind of out of those three, I'd say he's the, you know, the one that's most nice to have around when you're scared of stuff.
Yeah. You grew up in South Africa, as you said, till you were about 9 years old, and your father was...
Still is. Yep.
Still is a minister. Did you grow up in a religious household? And I asked that only because this is your CD is called The Plague.
Right. Yes, a very religious household. I'm glad I did. I don't regret it. I think, you know, there's obviously the different stories that are... that surround the idea of being a preacher's kid. You know, we're either problem children or we're not.
Or liars.
Yeah, or liars or musicians. Or, you know, that song, Son of a Preacher Man. My wife likes to think that.
Oh.
That was about me. But, it was definitely a religious household. I think that the aspects of faith and the metaphors and images that help children start to deal with the questions of spirituality and the big, giant existential questions that I think come up earlier than a lot of people might think they do, you know.
Are we alone?
Yeah.
Why are we here?
Right,
all
and,
that.
You know, where's Nana gone, you know, or all that kind of stuff. I mean, like, all, you know, I mean, kids, I think, get it more than most people do, and sometimes you need to learn language to be able to express yourself, and so the metaphors and images of different religious doctrines, I think, are really useful in that way. But I think sometimes they last a little bit longer than they necessarily should.
Sure, sure.
And they become destructive.
Well, I'd love to have you do another selection from your new CD, The Plague, with the Ezra Quartet, and this is a song called Up to Here.
Yep.
Yeah.
beautiful. I wish our listeners were all with us here in this room so they could see what's been happening here. And again, Andrew Lipke and the Azrael Quartet, and a song called Up to Here from Andrew's new CD, and the new CD is called The Plague. Listening to you, and we listened a lot to you over the last couple of days through your CDs, curious about your musical influences, because I can't pigeonhole you, and I know that's a good thing.
Yeah. It's not good for CD stores, but
no,
it's good for
exactly. Yeah, where do they put it, right?
I think that for me, my musical influences are, in a large way, connected to the way I think about music, which is, I guess, very much how I thought about it when I first encountered it, which was either I like it or I don't quite like it. So that counts for everything and every type of music and every kind of music, and I don't really see distinctions necessarily. I think there's music that's successful at what it's trying to do and music that's not as successful as it could be at what it's trying to do. I remember being, obviously I think in my teenage years I was drawn to stuff that had a little bit more like angst and I liked heavy music, sure. And Metallica and Tool and Black Sabbath and all that stuff. But as far as popular music goes, my biggest influences is probably Pink Floyd and Radiohead and bands that are a little bit more experimental in their sonic palettes. But at the same time, the first music that really spoke to me was Bach.
The B minor?
No, actually I think it was Air on a G string.
Oh.
Yeah, the air from the orchestral suite in G major. That's when I heard that as a little kid. And the funny thing about that is it's basically a pop song,
Right.
It's like a classical pop song, just doesn't have any words to it. But the way it's structured, it's just set up perfectly. It's like, 3 minutes or 4 minutes, so that I like large form compositions, but I'm also drawn to getting the point across.
And we're going to take a very short break and get back to our conversation and more music. I'm Marty Moss Cohen, and with Andrew Lipke, we'll be right back.
WHYY presents An Evening with David Sedaris on October 15th at the Merriam Theater in Philadelphia. The National Public Radio personality and author of When You Are Engulfed in Flames. Tickets at 215-893-1999 or kimmelcenter.org.
The Nonprofit Center at LaSalle University's School of Business announces its 30th year of educational programs for nonprofit staff and board members, now offered in both Philadelphia and Bucks County. Competitive nonprofits develop their expertise in fundraising, management, strategic planning, evaluation, marketing and communications, finance, and leadership through full-day classes and personalized on-site training. Information available at 215-951-1701 and LaSalleNonprofitCenter.org. The Nonprofit Center supports WHYY.
On the next Fresh Air, Allison Pearson talks about her novel, I Think I Love You, about a girl obsessed with David Cassidy. It's just come out in paperback. The film adaptation of Pearson's other novel, I Don't Know How She Does It, opens this weekend. It stars Sarah Jessica Parker as a mother trying to keep up with her child and her high-pressure job. Join us.
This afternoon at 3 and again tonight at 7 on WHYY.
The Oriental Rug Room at 10,000 Villages in Ephrata supports WHYY, featuring hand-knotted rugs made by fairly paid adults. Online at rugs.10,000villages.com. 10,000 Villages. Quality you desire. Fairness artisans deserve.
This is Radio Times here on WHYY, and we are at the Dorrance H. Hamilton Public Media Commons. Radio Times on Stage, a special concert and conversation with singer-songwriter, composer Andrew Lipke and the Westchester's Azrael Quartet. We are talking, they are playing wonderful music, and we are also playing selections from some of Andrew's CDs. And this is a section from a CD that came out just a couple of years ago, Mother Pearl and Dynamite, and it's a song called Get It Over With. Let's listen.
They stand with their guns on the ground. With the time just about to run out.
righty. Well, we are talking and we are listening to Andrew Lipke, a song from Mother Pearl and Dynamite, Get It Over With. And again, we have a studio audience here and we are having a great time listening to Andrew Lipke and the Azrael Quartet. How did you end up in Philadelphia?
I came here for college. I went to the University of the Arts. My original plan for college was to do music education and voice because back in high school I wanted to be a conductor.
Did you?
Yeah.
A conductor of a full orchestra?
Yeah.
Wow.
Still would like to be.
Yeah. But you still could be.
But I applied to a couple of schools, and then on a whim I applied to the University of the Arts on a composition for the composition program and was accepted and given a little bit of a scholarship. So I thought, well, I'll move to Philadelphia.
Yeah. And you have a studio here, mm-hmm. and it looks like you do everything. Is that true?
I don't cook. I'm not good at
everything
Windows.
Musically.
I'm interested in a lot of stuff, so I do a lot of different things as best as possible. There's many instruments that I can't play at all, but there are a few that I can play pretty well. And I got interested in recording mainly because I remember a situation where I was in a studio and I was watching somebody turn knobs and it just wasn't sounding right. And I was thinking to myself, all I need to do is know what those knobs are called. And I can make it sound better, you know. And so that kind of led me to wanting to learn as much as I could about the recording. So that way, I mean, I guess I'm kind of a control freak in a way. So that way it allowed
right.
me to
right.
have control over the final product. Because I mean, because of how I think about arrangements, I'm not the kind of songwriter who's like, here's the song. I don't know what to do with it. Not necessarily. Sometimes I'm in that situation, and then I have, you know, people like Krista and other people in the band that I play with, the Prospects, who can help collaborate with the arrangements. But a lot of times I have a very clear idea of where I want it to go, and sometimes it can be really frustrating to be like, no, just a little softer. Yeah. No, that's too soft. No, just a lot. No, that's too loud. You know.
Because you can edit forever, don't you think?
Yeah.
I mean, at some point you have to say it's done.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. So yeah, and I mean, I have my wife is really helpful for that too. She says you're done.
And you say yes, dear.
I say yes, dear.
Well, we'd love to have you play another selection, and this is again from your new CD. It's called The Plague, and this is a song called A New Start.
Yeah, this one. This is a new songwriting exercise for me. This is the first time I've written a song without an instrument. So this I kind of wrote while I was writing the string quartet part, using elements from other songs from the record. I wrote this one, so I don't have to play anything. I'm just going to sing.
Excellent.
Thank you.
And that was the Asriel Quartet performing A New Start, and our guest, Andrew Lipke, singing. You know, I have to say, I could see this as some form of musical theater. Sure. This whole CD, in a way. I could see it on stage, and yeah. with a quartet as good as this, and people singing about the end of the world.
You know, it's funny, I was actually had the pleasure of doing an interview with a great writer, MJ Fine, just a couple of days ago, and I was talking about how there's a part of me that really wants to write a musical, you know, but they drive me crazy whenever I see somebody talking and then all of a sudden, and now I'm going to sing, and it tweaks me out. I'm like, let's get out of here. Yeah, I don't know. You know,
it feels fake, or it just doesn't feel real.
Yeah, I don't buy it. And I liked musicals a lot when I was in high school, and maybe I just heard one too many,
right.
Or two too many, or three
yes.
too many. I don't know. Also, I think the kind of subject matter that I'm interested in, musical theater is much more. It seems to be much more kind of about upbeat stuff or fun stuff, and you know, and I have another project I play with Franz Schubert and the Shubes, that's much sillier and sort of lent towards trying out all kinds of weird musical juxtapositions and strange stories like giant dinosaurs and robots fighting each other and things of that nature. But for the music that I'm drawn to creating myself, I am searching for a way to create a large form narrative piece that kind of is like a musical or an opera, but works for me. So I
will come to that.
I'm on my way. I'm on my way there to try to make that happen. But it's I think this is the first step, and I'm going to be busy with it for a while, trying to solve that little problem I've set up for myself.
Just to throw in something else, you're also part of a Led Zeppelin tribute band. Get the Led Out, right?
Yes, I am.
So you're a Led Zeppelin fan?
I am a Led Zeppelin fan. Yeah, that's a fun.
Do you do covers, obviously?
Oh yeah. The kind of idea behind the band is that there's six of us, and we strive to create the studio recordings note for note. So I'm kind of the utility guy. So I do keyboard parts, and then I'll run around and do the second acoustic guitar, and then the third electric guitar, and whatnot. And it's fun.
Yeah. When you're writing, and we're almost out of time, and we're going to have you play us out. But when you're writing, do you think of yourself as a character? As you said, it's mostly not autobiographical.
Right. Yeah, I think so. I think of characters. I think of interactions, relationships. I think that the way I would describe it more so is images.
Images.
So it's very, for me, when I see an image, it carries a lot of emotion and story in it. And then from that image, I can keep going back to that image and say, well, what's this person doing in that picture? Or what's this, where are they going? Where are they traveling to? All that kind of thing. And then sometimes I'll take the sort of persona of a character within the song. But image is the thing that really kind of drives me to create.
And I think all of us here that are watching you talk, you look up when you say, I mean, you are a visual person, because you look up a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. I am I'm looking
there
for
goes,
the,
right?
the words. I'm looking for the words. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm definitely drawn to... I like movies. I like things where I can be totally drawn into even the cheesiest movie, as long as you don't start singing on me. I'll get completely drawn into it, and I'll like WALL-E.
It's a great movie.
I know, but it's also kind of not very manly. I'm drawn to WALL-E.
And do you like having a studio in your house?
Love it. Well, I have a new daughter. I have a 3-month-old daughter.
So you can do the up and down, upstairs, downstairs.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. And I kind of built it for my own purposes, but along the way, I produced some records for some good friends. My good friend Mark Silver, who I produced some records for, he's here today. But I produced some records there, and people seem to like the work that comes out of it. Yeah. So I've been able to get some more clients. And it's great, because you can be in the house. I can do something I love to do, and also learn at the same time, how to better do things.
And you like producing?
Love it. Because it works with the way I think about music, because you're just looking for the best solution, but you can't cut off any option. If a flugelhorn and a bagpipe, and a harp is going to make this part of the song sound the way it's supposed to sound or do the best thing for the song, you find yourself a bagpipe.
Well, it's been such a pleasure. Andrew Lipke, thank you so much for joining us today on Radio Times. And our thanks to the Azrael Quartet, Dan Wiederhold.
Dana?
Wiederhold.
Sorry about that. Anita Goga, Scott Wagner, and Krista Umeil. And we thank you for joining us today for Radio Times on Stage. I also want to thank Susan Greenbaum, Patty Leswing, Dennis Devine, and Debbie Bilder, Radio Times producers. I should add that Patty Leswing produced this program. And the Radio Times interns are Emily Bryant and Timothy Conaway. The engineers for this broadcast, Bob Alls, Al Banks, Julian Hirschfeld, and Mohammed Wahid. And we also had help from WHYY's Jeff Bundy, Mandy Dollar, and Lauren Hughes. And again, we have been broadcasting from the Dorrance H. Hamilton Public Media Commons at WHYY, a special concert and conversation with Andrew Lipke. And he and his group are going to play us out. And this is a song called On My Way. So let's listen. And thank you so much for joining us.